On this spotlight episode of the Nerd Outcast podcast, we travel to a galaxy far, far away with William Shakespeare. Hello and welcome back to another Spotlight episode of the Nerd Outcast podcast. These episodes are a little different, they're a little shorter, and they do not use my normal format. There is no Outcast. The reason I'm doing this episode today is a few nights ago, I was invited out to see a special preview performance of a show that I kind of wanted to give a little promotion here to. It's called McSith. Maxith or McSith?
McSith.
McSith. It is Macbeth, an abridged version of Macbeth, set in the Star Wars universe. Am I pretty correct in that assessment? Okay. Oh. I really enjoyed the show, so I have the, Orion, what are you? The founder?
The director, the adapter, the fight choreographer, and the producer. And okay. I play a small part.
Okay, well, introduce yourself, sir. Who am I talking with?
My name's Orion Cooling, and I'm the artistic director of Edge Theater.
Okay, before we talk about McSith or Edge Theater, tell us a little bit about yourself, Orion.
Sure.
How long, you're a Chicago actor. How long have you been
I've been
here?
In Chicago for 10 years. When I moved here originally, it was as a director and also as a gymnastics coach, because of gymnastics for 10 years as well. And really enjoyed myself and started getting very, very busy doing fight direction and directing and then occasionally acting. This is, of course, a chance to use all three in this current production. But I'm not directing, I'm a tall ship sailor, so I sail on the big tall ships that, like if you think about the Black Pearl from Pirates of the Caribbean, that kind of thing, that's
like,
what I do.
Like out of Navy Pier, or?
I actually worked the Windy and Navy Pier for 7 years.
Okay.
This last year was my final year on the Windy. I'm taking my captain's classes right now so I can get my captain certification and eventually sail my own ship down the road.
Very, very awesome. Very cool. My second guest, who is also in the show and is a good friend of mine and has been on this podcast many times before, go on and introduce yourself, sir.
Oh, it's Steven Scalabrino.
Hello, Steven. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good.
And what role do you have in the show? Well, before we get to the show, I'm sorry. What's your background as an actor? How long have you been in Chicago? What do you do? What do you do?
Okay. Well, I do a lot of things. I mean, mainly it's been a lot of stage combat, a lot of physical type work. Done a lot of motion capture for a few video games, Mortal Kombat most notably, and then Injustice, which just came out. I've been Scorpion, Superman, Captain Marvel, Ares, the God of War. I've been many characters like that. So I do a lot of, you know, as I said, physical type acting. And I have been trained in multiple martial arts, about 5 different martial arts. I'm trained on most modern weapons. I have a lot of stunt and, as I mentioned, physical, skills to attribute to
okay.
my acting.
So you guys could beat me up, probably, if you really need to.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
All right,
if
all right.
ninjas invaded this room, we would be okay.
We'd be all right. We'd be all right.
Yeah. So let's talk about this show, McSith.
Yeah.
So my first two questions, why Macbeth and why Star Wars?
Sure.
And my follow-up to the Star Wars question, was there another contender?
Yeah.
For that universe. So why this mashup? And I would also like to say to anyone who I've mentioned this show to, they said that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
they were like,
yeah.
Shakespeare and Star Wars? That's perfect.
Yeah.
So why that show and why that universe?
That's kind of a layered question, actually. This project started out 4 or 5 years ago. I was working for a homeschool co-op who asked me to teach Shakespeare to their kids. And I wanted to find a way that would be gripping, that'd be exciting. So I took several scenes from Shakespeare, from plays I really enjoyed, and dropped them into a sci-fi universe because that's always fun. And so the first one I adapted was a scene from Macbeth with a young Seward facing off Macbeth. It's an epic, it's a 14-year-old fighting a warrior, and there's no reason in the world he should be there except the kid's got chutzpah, right? And so it worked so well. So I put that on the table along with a scene from Battlestar Galactica, which was Much Ado, and that was a lot of fun. And then we did another scene from Twelfth Night in TNG universe, in Star Trek universe.
That's awesome.
And that was a lot of fun too. But the one that really the kids got the most enthusiastic about was this connection between Macbeth and Star Wars. So then I built off that and built off that. So I started playing, I had a draft of Macbeth set up within the first year of doing that project. Then I have also since then adapted for teens and for my youth theater program that I run, Richard III in the Star Wars universe as well.
Oh,
we
wow.
just finished doing Othello this year in the Star Wars universe. Out of the plays so far, Macbeth still rings the truest as far as keeping to its content. Richard III was very effective, but it was very hard to cut the script in the way that Macbeth cut very nicely. Richard was very hard to cut. Mm-hmm. And then Othello was very challenging because instead of the jealousy being about the physical body and possession and jealousy about that, we made it the jealousy about who had more ability with the force and how you could twist that and what that meant to have. And that envy went in a different route. And they were all very fun. But the Macbeth script we have is now in its fourth incarnation of its existence. And it really does play the cleanest. And the reason why we pick Star Wars is it really is universal. Like when you're out there, it doesn't take anything to play Star Wars. You pick a stick up in your hand, you're like, I am a Jedi. Boom, I'm there. You know, and it really is
the default. I do that every day.
Yeah, so, it's the default. When I was a kid, you pick up a stick and you might be like, I'm a knight, like in shining armor. I'm a Jedi. This is my M16. But sure. Nowadays, I really think the first thing people do when they pick up any kind of stick object is go, yeah. It's just like, it's such part of a culture. So yeah. The idea of replacing, it started with replacing the sword. Take the sword out, put a lightsaber in. Where does that get you? What scene am I in? I'm very easily in Macbeth. But you really have to have a clear and present evil. And you have to have a clear good guy for the Star Wars world to make sense. Mm-hmm. There's other plays we've discussed, Enter the Henrys. We looked at those, a lot of the histories. But the problem with the histories is if you look at Shakespeare, it really isn't clear who is evil.
Yeah.
There's definitely a force who's fighting each other, but who's really the bad guy? That's why Richard works pretty well. That's why Othello worked pretty well, because you have very defined. Iago is bad. We know that. Richard is bad. He says it so right in the play. But in Macbeth, you have a very clear anti-hero. It's very much established. He's working with witches. He's killing children. That's a bad guy. So you got a clear bad guy, and that's where you start. And so it really does limit the Shakespeare that you can do with it.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I definitely appreciated, I believe his name is Mon Beth at the beginning, which I'm assuming is kind of a call out to Mon Mothma.
It is.
There was a line about washing with the waters of Kamino, which I really, really picked up on. Yeah. What were some of the big hurdles of adapting this to the universe? And where do you draw the line as far as pulling from the Star Wars universe? Like, for instance, none of the characters were established Star Wars characters. Right. Like, they were all Macbeth characters. Was there a talk of, like, let's go in and make this Obi-Wan, or let's, you know... Like,
there's not even an ode to the characters. We really try to make sure our characters are our characters, but they might be based somewhat upon an archetype that's already established. Mm-hmm. For example, Boris Hoff, who plays Ross in the show, is very Qui-Gon. You see him, his hair looks like Qui-Gon, he moves like Qui-Gon. He's not Qui-Gon, but there's not... kind of a channeling of that energy for that character. Porter is very much Lobot. And if Lobot could give you an inner monologue, this might be what he's thinking. At the same time, he's not playing Lobot. He's playing the Porter, you know. Stephen's character is a great example. Yep. In the play, they're listed as murderers. That's their name. That's their title, murderers. Was not hard to adjust that to bounty hunters. And then, of course, they're going to be Mandalorian. Why? Yeah, because there's nothing more awesome than that. So Stephen took this idea and really ran with it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was really Rock, who's another one of the bounty hunters. There's three of us in the show. And we really just kind of got together and started extrapolating on the idea. We were like, well, we know that, you know, Jango Fett was like one of the first, you know, Mandalorians to kind of break off, that kind of thing. But I'm sure there were others from the Mandalorian Corps who broke off and became bounty hunters. Just they wanted to make more money, whatever it may be. So we kind of extrapolated on this idea and we're like, well, we got an older one, Rock, who's, you know, kind of an established bounty hunter. And you can see on his armor, like the way Rock painted it, you know, how he's, the battle he's been in, how many fights he's had, that kind of thing.
They're actually marked kills on both, on all the armors of all the bounty hunters. You can actually look for it and see how many kills they have.
On our helmets, there's a little blue dashes. Rock says, like, half of his head is covered in dashes because he's been in so many fights.
Your costumes were great. I really loved the costumes. Mm-hmm. Who was your costume designer? I feel we should give them a shout out.
Sure. Ashley Ann Woods is our costume designer. Okay. She just recently was nominated for an award for Broadway World for her set design work, but actually is a master of the visual, and we're very blessed to have her. And the cool thing about this particular project is that once we got these passionate actors involved, everybody had an idea of what they wanted their character to look like. Like, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if I were? And Ashley's like, yes, let me roll with that and help you make something out of that, you know? She really left a lot of the bounty hunter costuming up to the gentlemen who were going to play those characters, just maybe suggested a few things and tweaked a few things there and there. But for the most part, it's her visual world for the costuming.
Cool, so. Cool. So what is the goal of the show? What type of audience is this aimed at, would you say?
That's a great question. Originally, my piece was, I was hoping to inspire teens to get more into Shakespeare. Okay. That was originally what I was written to do. I'm finding that in Chicago, I'm getting more of a demographic of, well, you know, our age people. We're getting people between, you know, 21 and 35 who are pretty excited about seeing this show. Mm-hmm. We're not getting much of an older crowd as far as the ticket sales go. We're not getting a lot of teens. But we are getting a lot of, you know, young adults into, you know, late 20s and early 30s who are pretty excited, kind of banging down the door for tickets on that, mm-hmm. that age bracket. I was hoping a lot more teens come see it. So far I haven't had a ton of response. Granted, we're not partnered with a school right now. And we don't have a youth outreach program in the way. Which is strange, being that a good section of our cast are teens,
but they're
homeschoolers and unschoolers, which have their own unique network. Mm-hmm. And so they're within that world, there's quite a bit of hubbub about this, but it's its own select little community in Chicago.
Okay. So let's pull back a little bit from McSith. So the company is called Edge, is that correct? Edge Theater? Mm-hmm. Or
The company is many facets. Edge established itself as originally, way back in the day, this is 9 years ago, we were doing school assemblies. And what I would do is take someone like Steven, a trained stage combatant, stuntman, and we'd go to these schools, and we usually work with youth at risk, and we'd go to academies that focus on youth at risk, and break down the decision-making process while talking about stage combat. So we'd do a big sword fight, get the kids really excited about that, and then talk about violence and how to work through violence and how to slow that down, and about the absolute respect it takes to do a piece of choreography, mm-hmm. and how much better it looks than just jacking someone in the face. And if your job is to empower, there's a way to swing that the violent tendencies into desiring a cooperative power sharing. If that makes sense, like if I'm working with Steve and we're doing a sword fight, I must absolutely take care of him. And he's gonna absolutely take care of me. And together then, we're going to look amazing. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just focused on me, looking awesome all the time, that fight will be trash, right? Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting way of breaking down decision-making processes, then breaking down violence and playing with them. And then usually we would do a good 2-hour session of workshopping afterwards. Mm-hmm. So we do the big assembly, and then we do a 2-hour workshop, and the kids would get a chance to experience some of it. So we did that for years and years and years. When I got to Chicago eventually, though, that modified. I found a couple of the places I had worked with were more interested in doing kind of a 10-week session or an 8-week session. And so I started setting up these like long classroom sessions, which built into more of a theater, which then became a bigger theater. So
but you don't have, you guys are not tied to a school yet?
No. We bounce around a bit. And in fact, I stopped looking at school venues because I got so busy doing the 8-week programs in the theaters that I would rent a space, mm-hmm. and then basically run somewhat a collegiate level classes. And that became for homeschoolers, unschoolers, and also some, we call them schoolies, which are kids who come from school to hang out with us afterwards doing shows, you know. So, you know, we do everything from most of the theater that we do now based in Chicago with my young people is what I call adventure-based theater. So we're doing The Hobbit. We just did Beowulf. Last year, my teens and I did a great adaptation of Lost Boys on stage, you know. It usually has violence. There usually is adventure. We did Robin Hood. You pick those kinds of shows that have lots of sword fighting. And sometimes we do musical theater, too. And that's my Chicago-based. So because you fight and you sing for the same reasons. When you can do nothing else, you pick up a sword or you sing, right? And sometimes you do both. So that's what I do in Chicago. But out in the suburbs, I have a really big special needs program. My theater tends to focus upon marginalized communities. So for the past 8 years, I've worked with a group called Ups for Downs out in Schaumburg area. And I have a populace of young people I work with who either have special needs or typically functioning. And we do big, fat musicals, and they're huge. And thousands upon thousands of people come to see them. And these kids are up on stage, and they're just killing it. They're having such a great time. And it's cool. The cool thing about theater, of course, y'all probably know this, but it's therapy, right? It's movement therapy. Mm-hmm. It's vocal coaching. These kids are getting, you know, text time. They're learning about, they're expanding the vocabulary and how to communicate their ideas in an effective manner. And when you're working with a special need, that's really important. Sometimes your ability has been somewhat limited by what you're working through. So we get to help these kids find new ways to push through those barriers. And so across the board, I kind of just play all day long with people, and it's just kind of it's fantastic.
And is this full time for you?
Yeah, I've been making my life as an artist for the past 8 years, just doing theater, and then when I do tall ship work, I guess you consider that to be theater as well, because I'm a docent, and I'm a storyteller, and I'm the director of programming, so I write these scripts out, and then hire actors to do them, and we teach the history of Chicago, or Great Lakes history, and so it's all theater-based for me.
Okay. Is Edge a non-for-profit? Is
that... No, we're not. Okay. I ran a not-for-profit theater for about 3 years, and got really burned out on it. I found it almost impossible to sustain.
You're not the first person that said that to me, but
yeah,
come on.
Without a board that was really passionate about your focus, I found it to be limiting. So it was similar work, but I wasn't able to push through the barriers fast enough because my board wasn't as passionate about the topic as I was. Then without a successful grant writer, we were dead in the water. Mm-hmm. We were limping through. Yeah. And so if you're going to form an NFP, you better have your best friend, your VP, better be a grant writer, and they better be really good at it.
Okay. So, Steven, did you have anything you wanted to add on? Ryan is just like giving me gold here.
What? I know. It's like, hey, you got this, buddy. This is all you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree with all of this stuff. I mean, it's honestly, when I was, you know, first trying to get in contact with Orion, I was looking up everything Edge does online and everything, and just like, this is exactly the kind of, you know, programming and workshops I want to be doing. I have an education background in high school theater education. And I love working with kids. Like, I've been a, you know, speech team coach for years and years. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I have that background, you know, but I also have this, you know, physical theater aspect part of me as well that I really kind of wanted to merge the two. And partnered with Orion and doing stuff like this. It's like, this is great work.
Really cool. Steven got referred to me by a professor who I have so much respect for. Mm-hmm. His name is Paul Denhard. And Paul and I've been his assistant for years, and we've co-taught, and it's kind of like an older brother that I never had, you know. He took me beneath his wing, and so when he told me that Steven was in town, he's like, you need to get together and hang out with this guy. We tried. We kept just missing each other. Like, there were all these times, and finally this project came along, and we were able to correlate our schedules. And I'm excited because we're looking at teaching a Stitch Combat workshop together in the very early winter. We're looking at doing, I'm just finishing a 4-week lightsaber class for certification. So single source certification for lightsaber, which is what we just finished. We're looking to do that again, and then some more classes in the area, and Steven and I are very excited to be working together on that project. So you'll get a chance to, if you jump in those classes, you get a chance to learn with Steven and I as we wield lightsabers. But it's not just going to be that. We're also doing a Stitch Combat certification class for unarmed, we call it the Chicago Actors Handbook. Mm-hmm. So it'll be all the unarmed testing you need for certification for dueling arts or like something like SAFT, but also things that I have found over 8 years of fight directing in Chicago. What do directors need you to know? So a lot of that, you would be amazed how much, this doesn't sound kind of rough, but how much torture that are in storefront theaters in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about your basic slaps. There's a lot of really grisly stuff. And if you're an actor who can walk in with a know-how of that very intimate, violent environment, you'll have a leading edge upon someone who's going to be doing a Pillow Man, something like that, which is, you know, a lot of Chicago is very much that small, intense, violent theater. And unfortunately, they're not training actors to do that in college programs right now. They're doing big violence. You get to learn a sword fight. But you probably didn't get to work through a scene from Titus Andronicus, you know?
Fascinating.
You know, on that note, just real quick, time in and time out when I go into auditions for, you know, whatever it may be, even just, you know, very small, intimate, on-camera work, a lot of times what directors are looking for is people who have a connection with their body, is the phrase I hear so often. And, you know, doing a lot of this stage combat work and, you know, martial arts in general, just all of this, really has helped me be more in control of what my body's doing, knowing what I'm saying as I'm emoting with my body, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of actors lose out on that. They think, oh, I don't need to know combat. Like, I'm a pretty guy and I can say lines pretty well. But I think it's very important to know how your body is, you know, positioned on stage, what kind of things you're doing with it. In every aspect of acting in general, I feel like it plays a part.
Agreed. Stage combat is just great actor training, you know. Yeah. So whether you're swinging a lightsaber or a broadsword or doing some John Wayne fisting cuffs, it's just good. Yeah. It's good minute by minute, second by second training for being aware and partnering on stage.
Cool. Well, we have just a few quick minutes here left, and I have a couple questions I want to throw out. First off, what is the run of the show?
Yeah, we have a limited run. We open this weekend. Okay. It's December 6th, so 6 for Sith, right? And then we run two shows a night. So we have Friday, we've got a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock. Saturday, we have a 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And then Sunday, we have just one, a 2 o'clock matinee. But the following weekend, the 14th, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. We have, that's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. We have two shows every day of those that weekend. So we have two on Friday, two on Saturday, and then we have two on that Sunday, a 2 o'clock and a 5 o'clock. If tickets sales pick up, we might add another one for 7 o'clock. Okay. We finish on the 18th with a final show at 7 p.m. It's a Wednesday night. Kind of a funky night to finish a run on.
Yeah.
But we had the space. We thought, heck, we want to do it again. Let's do it again.
Go for it.
And then that's it for this run. There's a lot of discussion about bringing it back in the spring. Mm-hmm. And when we're not put up against, you know, everybody doing a play right now. But, you know, Chicago, there's always like a bazillion shows going on.
So how largely much, how depends much are on, tickets?
Oh, they're only $15.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you're going to get tickets, sorry, no, you want to do it online. The space can only sit 40 people at max capacity. That's it.
And that's pretty tight, too.
Yeah, so, and most of the nights are approaching at least half, if not some much slightly more than this. So you really want to go online. You don't want to go to
the
door.
What's the website?
It's edgeoforion.com.
Okay.
Right? And all the ticket sales are right there.
Cool. Is that also where people can find out more about the show and Edge in general and whatnot?
Yep. There's a behind-the-scenes video for this show. There's a behind-the-scenes video for Edge and the assembly work and score work that we do. There's two teasers for this show. One is really kind of a fun background teaser, and then the other one's just featuring some of the violence that we do in the show. So you can get a real feel for what we're doing by going to the website.
Final two questions, just fun little questions to take us out that I chose specifically for you two.
Oh,
question number one, favorite Shakespeare show?
Oh, all right. What do you have an answer?
What's your favorite Shakespeare?
Wow, it's hard.
Yep.
It's hard. I love Macbeth. I love Macbeth because it just appeals to my 9-year-old self. Like, we're fighting. There's witches. Blood. So I'm pretty excited about all that. But I do love Twelfth Night a lot. I think it's fast and fun and just hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hold myself to the wire. I'm gonna say I love Macbeth. I'm gonna go with it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Steven?
You know, it's very tough for me. I know Hamlet is probably my number one.
Yeah, right. That's good.
As an actor, I mean, that's like gold. Like, when he's like, I get to play Hamlet, that's money in the bank. But a close second to Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. A little cliche, but honestly, I love the characters in that. Like, Tybalt would be one I would... Oh my god, if I could play him at some point, it'd be amazing.
I just finished doing a fight direction for that yesterday for a youth theater up in Evanston.
Oh, nice.
My final question to both of you.
Yeah.
Your favorite fight in all of Star Wars. And you can pull from comic books, from the indie shows, and you don't have to pull from just the movies.
Okay.
But your favorite fight in Star Wars canon.
Fight. Wow. Books and two. Everything. Ah, this is tough.
All right.
Let's see.
I'm a big fan of all of the combat in I, Jedi. I love that book. I love all the friction in it. I love that he's actually not that great of a lightsaber user or of a force user. I love that because he's an everyman character. So when he gets into combat...
Which character is this?
The lead. What is his name? It's not Kyle Katarr.
I haven't seen that. I, Jedi?
Yeah, it's a book. And it's fantastic. And I'm blanking on
his name. Is it Kip Duran?
Right, huh? Kip? It's not.
I haven't read I, Jedi.
Yeah,
so
it's worth reading. It's similar
podcasters
to...
are just flipping out right
I
now.
Know, I know.
It's similar totally to Louis L'Amour's, if you ever read Westerns, it's a book called The Proving Trail, which is about a young man learning to be a cowboy, and he's 18. It's I, Jedi's like that. He's just a young man training to be a Jedi, is trying to get his wife back. Some dark stuff's gone down. It's pretty fantastic. Cool. But I can't get over the fact the Mara Jade kicking the crap out of Luke.
Yeah.
That's always fun. But Darth Vader Shadowhunter, the book.
I haven't read that one either.
Oh, there's a really great sequence where there's a Jedi who's basically holding off Vader, and he knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he can't defeat this guy, mm-hmm. but he's buying the other guy's time.
To get away.
And it's just...
Is it the story of Vader like going around exterminating
the Jedi Knights?
It's ascension
into his body, getting used to what he's doing, becoming powerful.
Awesome.
And it's really necessary, I think, if you're going to follow Vader's timeline to get past that. Because he's like, you've been made... Like, you've lost most of your body, great. And then yet you still become the most terrifying force in the universe. So this is missing Link, mm-hmm. and it's fantastic.
Steven?
You know, I always liked Empire Strikes Back. It's my favorite movie.
The duel between Luke and
I wear the shirt, I represent, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're wearing it.
But no, Empire Strikes Back and the battle between Luke and Vader.
Yeah.
I think the book actually does a better job because you get, you know, inside their heads and you see what's going on. I mean, there's a lot happening for Luke in that battle. Not just, you know, lightsabers clashing, like fighting with the Force, like kind of going to the dark side almost. And we're finding out that, you know, Vader's his father. So much happened in that battle. It's a very important turning point in the whole series of movies. So
it's the story, though, right?
It's all about the story.
That's the thing, too. Really is. I think, though, some of the challenges we have with the more recent films is that the combat is so exciting, but there's no storytelling.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and without that, what are we doing?
It's so pretty. We're going to fly our lightsabers around.
Just to flop back to our show ever so briefly, there's a lot of combat, but none of it's wasted. Mm-hmm. The fight that I fall back on over and over and over again is when Banquo's jumped by the bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. It's a savage fight. It's a savage fight, and the stakes are so high. He's got to get his kid out of there. Who can't emulate with that? I mean, everybody can feel that. Like, that's your child. They're trying to kill you. And he just fights like a demon for him. Jack Sharkey, who plays the character there, and then Will Gallagher, who plays his son. I think it's very gripping. Very gripping.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That brings us to the end of our podcast. I know you guys have busy schedules and need to run off to, I don't know where you guys are going. Probably
it's
to deal
final,
with lightsabers.
Final tech. Final tech.
Yeah. Awesome. So. Is there any final things you wish to say before we wrap up?
Sure. I just want to say one thing for anybody who's listening. It's not a farce. What we're doing is playing deadly Shakespeare. And I think sometimes you look at a title, you think Star Wars Shakespeare, and that book just came out. It's really, really fun. What we're doing, of course, is as fun as Macbeth ever will be. Which means, sure, it's going to be cool, but it's a very dark play. Mm-hmm. If I tell my friends, it's like a PG-13 play. It's pretty intense. So just know that if you're going to come, that's the kind of play it is. It is not a, like, let's get drunk and drink a lot of wine and watch the silly, like, tribute to Star. It's not that, you know? There's nothing wrong with doing those things. I recommend you do those things. Yeah. There's lots of theater in Chicago. You can do those things and enjoy, you know?
But that's not the intention of it.
Yeah, that's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to honor the play. We're also trying to honor the Star Wars world. There's a lot of, like, we're really going for that. Dignity. Always dignity.
Cool. Yeah. What's on the future for Edge? Any projects in the near future?
Again, the idea of remounting this play in the spring is pretty possible. We're also looking at maybe playing with the book that just came out, Star Wars A New Hope, Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a reading for that and seeing if that can actually hit the stage and work well on the stage. Princess Bride, Living Tribute 2, is something we did last year. We're looking at bringing back in the next couple months. And then that is, I think, on the table. All stuff that's on the table for right now. Of course, there's some ongoing stage combat classes as well.
Cool. Steven, anything you wish to plug? Or
Just come see the show. Seriously. I mean, if you're in the Chicago area, it's definitely worth it. You know, come seeing. And I think Orion is putting his hands up. There's something,
else, something else he wants to say.
If you can't see the show because you're from far, far away, it's totally fine. We're doing an audio drama of this. We're recording an audio drama of this. Right. And that way you can go to our Indiegogo page, which we have a page for Indiegogo, look it up and support it. And then it's at a certain contribution, we will send you the audio drama that we're making. It'll full sound effects, all the actors. So it was meant to be, you know, I grew up with the NPR audio books, audio dramas of this, loved them. I love them more than I love the movie. But you should definitely think about doing that, because then you can have your own slice of the show. We can send that to you no matter where you are in the country. So.
And you may also get a lightsaber.
Made
enough too.
Yeah, you can get one of our battle-worn lightsabers. Yeah.
That's right. That's so that's my sweat ingrained in it.
Exactly. So, each one personally sweated on by Steven.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out tonight. My name has been Chris Bashan. If you have any comments or topic suggestions, please email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. We'll have information for the show in this posting for the podcast and links to the website for Edge and Mixith and whatnot, so you guys can go check that out. Please check out the show. It was really, really great. I really enjoyed it, and these guys do really good work. I've been your host, Chris, and my guests today have been
Orion Cooling,
Steven Scalabrino.
Thank you, and may the Force be with you.